God's Word from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, and verses 27 through 29. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," the angel said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This is our Memorial Day Sunday message, A Higher Call. And this message will, here at the beginning, sound a little bit like a lecture. That's because we do not talk about the American Civil War very often. And it may not be clear, as we get started, how the American Civil War and the Word of God go together. But if you'll be patient, I think you'll discover that the Bible and the Civil War intersect at many points. Although the topic is the Civil War and the Bible, what we wind up talking about today will be death and life and honor and faith, and the Bible has much to say about all of those. We've had to talk about death quite a bit this year, haven't we? As a nation and as a congregation, started last December before Christmas with the Sandy Hook school shooting. We have lost several members this year. This community has had some sudden deaths. There was the Boston bombing, and now the Oklahoma tornadoes, where even children and infants' lives were lost. Although I believe that we live and think differently than the people of Civil War America, what remains the same is the pain of sudden and violent deaths of loved ones, young people, innocent people. With those losses, we can sympathize, and we do sympathize. The Civil War was not unlike all the death and destruction that I just mentioned happening in our own time. But in the Civil War, it was more extensive. For those of you who only occasionally think about the Civil War, here is some new thinking about the war. Researchers now believe that we underestimated the number of people who died during the American Civil War. The usual number given is 600,000 dead or 620,000 dead. New studies support a much larger number, 650,000, maybe as high as 750,000. And if we put that figure into today's numbers, comparing the population then and the population now, that would be as if 7.5 million people died during the Civil War, based on present-day population. To put it another way, the number of Civil War soldiers who died is about equal to the number of American dead from the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II, and Korea combined. The Civil War gave America its bloodiest days in its history. The bloodiest single day of battle was the Battle of Antietam in Maryland, and here we use the standard figures of dead, wounded, and missing. These are the casualties, 23,000 men. There were only 120,000 men total in the battle, so one man out of every five was a casualty in 12 hours of combat. The bloodiest battle of the Civil War remains the Battle of Gettysburg. It lasted 3 days. There were 51,000 casualties, but we won't be talking about those battles today. We won't be talking about all of those deaths. No, today we will talk about one death, the death of a young man who lived here in the Daleville area. He died in a battle most people have never heard of, except the troops who fought it, the Battle of Port Gibson. But one thing this single death has for us, as it did for all the other deaths in the Civil War, this one death, 150 years ago, becomes personal. This young man traveled the same roads you travel today. He saw the same sunsets you have seen. He experienced the same cold winters here and the heat of summers. He saw the same crops in the field. He had a church home just as you do. His name was Augustus Safford. His friends and maybe his family called him Gus. He died far away from here in Mississippi, back in a day when most people rarely left their county, let alone their state. Gus went off to war. He never came back. On this Memorial Day Sunday, we remember the sacrifices of those like Augustus Safford. I should probably take a minute and talk about my prejudices when I talk about the Civil War. We all have prejudices. I believe I know my prejudices. First of all, I try not to romanticize war. War is destructive, like a hurricane or a tornado. War doesn't seem to care who gets in the way or what they were doing when it hit. It seems to kill and maim without reason and without remorse. In addition to military servicemen who died during the Civil War, it is believed that as many as 50,000 civilians also died in the conflict. Still, I believe there were reasons for the Civil War. I believe that the Civil War was about race and about slavery. But that doesn't make the Civil War a simple subject. There was nothing simple about it. The recent film on Abraham Lincoln bears out the fact that the war was not a simple matter. And the issue of race has still not been resolved in this country. What was known during the Civil War as the Negro question may not have been much on Augustus Safford's mind. Research shows that the political question of slavery was not on very many soldiers' minds. But I ask you, how many young people under the age of 21 have political issues foremost on their minds? Back then, they couldn't even vote. 18-year-olds wouldn't vote for another 100 years. But young men did die in battle, like Gus did. A few military details might help give you some perspective on Gus's death. The overall plan for the war was that the United States armies wanted to divide and conquer the South. The southern states were surrounded, northern states on the north, and a blockade of warships around each southern port. Then, the plan was that the South be divided. The North worked to own the Mississippi River. The U.S. Army and Navy had been successful for over a year in claiming more and more of the Mississippi. They started from the North and from New Orleans, which had fallen about a year after the war started. So by spring of 1863, the North controlled the whole river except for one major city, Vicksburg, Mississippi. It took months, but finally the Union Army was ready and in position to begin to move against that city, the capital of Mississippi. Confederate forces resisted every step of the way, and that is how Augustus Safford's unit, the 69th Indiana, happened to be 30 miles south of the city of Vicksburg, fighting. The fight lasted most of the day of May 1st, 1863, 150 years ago. The fight had begun early in the morning. The Union troops had the advantage of numbers and pushed the Confederates back. Having begun early in the morning, the fighting remained furious until early afternoon when both sides regrouped. Reinforcements continued to come in for both sides. That afternoon, it was no doubt during one of the attacks by Union forces, including Gus's regiment, the 69th Indiana, that Augustus Safford was shot. Gus's captain wrote to the family about Gus's death and said, "Gus fell pierced by a miniball in the left hip, passing through," by which he means the bullet passed all the way through the body. "He lived but a few minutes. Gus said to tell my friends I die in peace." A few minutes after he was shot, the order came to fix bayonets, and Gus, supposing we were going to charge, exclaimed, "That's right, boys, charge them." Gus died very easy and did not seem to mind his wound. At the time, there were no carriers present to carry him off the field, and we were so hard pressed by the enemy that the colonel would not let anyone carry him back. But two sergeants carried him down and lay him in the shade on the grass and in a few minutes they brought me back the sad news that he was no more. The captain went on to say, "There was never a better nor a braver soldier. He was always an example for his comrades in everything constituted a Christian and a soldier. We feel his loss deeply." The boys talk about dear Gus a great deal. A grateful people shall cherish their memories and bless their names. Here are the facts as we know them. Augustus Safford was one of 861 casualties that day. The Confederates lost about as many. In the next three battles, before the attack on Vicksburg itself got underway 3 weeks later, there were over 3,000 additional casualties. There would be more casualties than that before Vicksburg itself fell to Union forces. But of course, we know one of those casualties, and he came from this community. Of course, Augustus Safford wasn't the only local boy to go to war. The names of veterans of the Civil War that we know for certain are printed for you in the bulletin. Some came from this congregation. And Augustus Safford wasn't the only local boy who didn't come home. And as many men died from disease as died from combat. The American Civil War, the death of Augustus Safford, and the Bible do intersect. They intersect because there were those who sought to get rid of slavery in this country based on the Bible. The Civil War, for whatever reason men fought it, was never far from what the Bible talked about. Also, soldiers responded to a higher call. The followers of Jesus, today's Bible verses tell us, they answer a higher call. The Civil War, Gus Safford, and the Bible intersect because Gus Safford was a pastor's son. And these intersect because Gus Safford was a follower of Jesus Christ, and the people who knew Gus Safford comforted his family with their testimony about Gus. My research tells me that Gus's captain did not send any sort of form letter or one with standard statements in it. The fact that Gus's captain took the time to write to the Safford family at all is its own tribute to Augustus Safford's life. But Captain Yount said particular things regarding Augustus's death, details that would have been very important to a Civil War family who had lost a loved one on the battlefield far from home. You see, at the time of the Civil War, the condition in which you died was very important to people. Gus's captain said that Gus was not distressed, not in terrible pain, that he was peaceful. Back then, they believed that your condition in death reflected your standing with regard to eternity. Those who might demonstrate fear or terror or anxiety at the thought of their own deaths, they believed, reflected their standing with the Almighty God. Colonel Lawrence Chamberlain, one of the heroes of the Battle of Gettysburg, was severely wounded a year after Gettysburg. He was told that his wound was fatal, that he would die. He wrote to his wife that he could die in peace, comforted in the knowledge of his relationship to his Savior, Jesus Christ. It was history's fortune that Colonel Chamberlain did not die, but recovered from his wounds and went on to serve four terms as governor of the state of Maine. Captain Yount made sure to tell Augustus's family that there never was a better nor a braver soldier. He was always an example for his comrades in everything constituted a Christian and a soldier. We feel his loss deeply. What pastor father would want to hear better words about their soldier son, that as young as he was, his life was seen as a Christian life and his service as one of a Christian soldier, brave and a good example? I've mentioned before the very obvious statement that none of us knows when our end will come. Some believe that they will prepare for their end as they get closer to it. Augustus Safer demonstrated that he prepared for his end long before he might have expected his end at the age of 20. Augustus Safer lived for what he believed, That is what his captain said. He lived his faith. We also know that Augustus Schaeffer died for what he believed. He put his beliefs into action, and it wound up costing him his life. We honor his memory today. As Captain Yount wrote 150 years ago, a grateful people shall cherish their memories and bless their names. Our country and this county and even our little community here have lost young men to war ever since. We remember their sacrifices today. We try to keep a current list of all those of this congregation who have served our country. Some of you are still with Daleville Christian Church today. God bless you. Our Lord continue to bless you. And a grateful nation thanks you for your service. We are well aware that even though not all gave their lives, all who served gave a portion of their lives. And for your service, we are grateful. But there remain questions for us, the living. Abraham Lincoln stated in his immortal Gettysburg Address. He said, "It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion." Augustus Schaeffer's life and death gives us questions to think about. The questions for us are these: will you put your beliefs into action? Will you live your beliefs no matter what the cost? Augustus was a soldier. We are not soldiers. However, the Bible shows that Jesus died, and we can name several others who were in Jerusalem who also died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus even said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master." Because Augustus's death is a part of history, we have some perspective on his death. Augustus' service played a part in the victory that day. That victory played a part in the next victory and the series of victories that led to the capture of the city of Vicksburg. That victory is considered by some to be the most important point in the war. Augustus' active part in that victory ended 2 months before Vicksburg was taken. But Augustus Schaeffer did his part. So the question for us is this: are we willing to do our part, even if we never see the victory that is coming? Our victory, friends, is written in your Bibles. Our Lord has called us to serve him. Are we doing our part? Augustus Schaeffer might not have been concerned with what was then called the Negro question. However, Augustus Schaeffer's contribution later led to freedom for the slaves and equal rights for African-American freedmen already in this country. How concerned are you for your fellow man, black or white? Are you part of a bigger picture, the kingdom of God? Are you answering a higher call? Will it be said of you at your death that you were an example for those around you in everything that constitutes a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ? I am not the one to answer that question, but you are. Will you be able to go, whenever your time comes, peacefully, and to go in the knowledge of your Savior Jesus? Will you have answered that higher call? Amen.